Well, welcome to our first podcast. I'm Kate Diaz, a Manchester math teacher, elected president of CEA and the state's largest teachers union. We represent tens of thousands of professional educators across the state.
And I'm Jocelyn Delancey, a fifth grade teacher in Darien, elected vice president of CEA and president of CEF, the Connecticut Education Foundation, the charitable arm of CEA.
Each week you'll hear stimulating and thought-provoking interviews, as well as actionable tips and strategies you can implement in your daily life to become a more informed and effective educator and advocate for your students in the teaching profession.
Thanks for spending time with us today. Now let's jump into our monthly dose of our podcast.
So joining us today is Don Williams, our executive director. Welcome, Don.
Thank you, Kate.
I hope this day finds you well, because we've got a lot on our plate today.
Well, there's a lot on everybody's plate. Our members, for sure, out there in the classroom. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're, 2 months now, Jocelyn, into the start of the school year. And the theme of this school year seems to be, oh my goodness, what more can they do to us? I think that's probably a fair theme at this point.
I would absolutely say that is a more than fair theme.
So I think for the first podcast, it makes sense to start with, what is the biggest challenge? If you had to name one thing, and as you're dealing with teachers, educators across the state, what do you think is the big thing? All right, who wants to go first?
Wow. I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, there's still the pandemic, right? I mean, we thought that this was going to be a getting back to normal year, and it's anything but. We've got the ongoing pressures of the profession. Mm-hmm. Teachers, like everybody else in the workforce, starting to think, wait a minute, all these burdens that have been placed on us, 38% of our members saying, I don't know, is this the course that we want to stay here in terms of career? It's incumbent, therefore, upon us and our members to work together to help elevate this profession. I mean, that involves a lot of different things. That's not just one thing.
Absolutely. And I think you hit on a really important thing. And that is, for me, it's been really like really rethinking what is our profession, right? I mean, every kind of industry has had to stop and pause and go, wait, how do we really do business? And so it makes sense that teachers are doing the same thing and saying, hey, does this job really work for me?
Right.
And I think we're really facing a whole lot of people thinking, okay, wait a minute, how can we do this job better, differently, in a way that at the end of the week, I don't cry, you know? I think that's really important. We get to a place where we don't cry at the end of the week.
And how can we be treated in a way that we're respected? I mean, we've talked about this for years in terms of other countries, how right. teachers are valued, respected. And of course, teachers are valued and respected in the United States, but not to the extent deserve to be. Not to the extent they deserve to be.
I think we could have a solid debate on that one, Don.
I think that could be its own topic and podcast.
Yeah, you're right. I guess it's the type of thing where lots of people do understand the importance of your work. But unfortunately, in many cases, the policymakers who make the rules are the folks who need to be moved. They need to treat this profession with the respect that it deserves.
Well, I think that's a really solid point, because I think you have the people who are inside the buildings doing the work, seeing the impact, dealing with the stresses on a daily basis. And then you have a lot of people outside buildings making decisions about what should go on in those buildings. And I think that's a general source of stress.
If we could think about the biggest issue facing teachers right now, it would be the stress. Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with the tone and tenor of how people outside the buildings are treating the people inside the buildings.
Yeah. I mean, when we think about some of the points that people are being really like pulled out by their community and isolated and identified and vilified, you know, I always try and remind people that when you look at a teacher, they genuinely got into the field of this job because what they want to do is take care of other people's children. So to aggressively attack that person is always astounding to me.
The level of persecution right now is staggering. I'm not sure we've ever been in this place with public education in the United States, where folks are not viewing the Board of Education as a role where you try to enhance the quality of education and you tell the truth and you're honest. It's been politicized. And not in a way that would in any way move things forward, but basically dictate that you can do this, you can't do that, you can't tell this aspect of history, or even down to the mask business and trying to divide schools and communities between people who want to you know, protect public safety, wear masks, et cetera. And those who don't, who are entitled to their opinion, but they're not entitled to come and create, you know, battle situations and battle zones in schools.
Right. I mean, I think the hardest part for me is education is political, right? I mean, educators themselves don't necessarily love that. It's not our favorite aspect of the work. But realistically, so many mandates and initiatives and ideas come down politically that are really at the core of what we're grappling with. And so what we're seeing now is sort of that becoming these big ticket, almost divisive situations where educators have to answer questions and that they're not used to be kind of being attacked for. And I think it's really an unfair scenario. They're not prepared in many spaces to deal with a parent who's screaming at them about a curriculum decision that they didn't necessarily make. So I think it's really a hard time. And I feel for the educators who are kind of being persecuted. It's not a fun time to be in that situation.
And it makes it really hard to take care of kids when the stress is weighing on teachers so heavily. And that's really what teachers want to do. They want to take care of kids and they want to teach.
We have to put some energy and effort into taking care of the people who are in front of the children, because if you do that, everything else will work out. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, we need to kind of reinforce that over and over and over again. And taking care of teachers looks like a lot of different things. So what does it look like?
To take care of teachers?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. What does it really look like?
I think first and foremost, having open and kind conversations.
Yeah, I think kind is a missing link at the moment when I think about some of the communications.
You know, teachers are trying to do their jobs and they think that they're doing things with the best interest of the students at heart. And sometimes a kind conversation that might often be difficult will get to a lot of different ideas and realizations for everybody involved.
What could districts do to provide more support in that regard? Now, both of you have been out to a lot of our schools, a lot of our school districts throughout the state. You're talking with members. In some cases, like recently, you're both in Clinton and in Greenwich standing up
Yep.
for teachers when they are attacked. What are they saying in terms of the support they need?
You know, I think that they're really looking for compassion. When I think about where the real pitfalls are and where the things go awry, it's when they feel like they're not being approached with compassion, when there is being attacked. And I think it's really incumbent on leadership in schools to step in and say, okay, what does this look like? How are we communicating? How are we talking to our people? What is our message? I think sometimes we get so caught up in the hectic nature of the work that we're doing and the fact that there's a lot on everybody's plate that we don't practice what we preach. So, you know, you have an administrator who's like, take the time, care for your kids, make sure you're making connections, build community. And that very same administrator doesn't take, you know, control of their classroom that way. It's one of the biggest complaints I universally hear. My favorite story about that was when I was at one point trained in what we called capturing kids' heart. We sent every teacher to a 3-day training about how to connect and bond with your class and the importance. And I walked back into my building and I looked right in my principal and I said, that's great. Who's capturing my heart? When's that work get done? Because you want me to run around and do this with 125 students? And when does it happen to me? Who's going to make that investment in me? And unfortunately, he kind of looked at me and went, that's a great question, which I think too often is the answer to that. and I think we can do a little better than, oh, that's a good question.
Now, Jocelyn, you've been talking with a lot of teachers throughout the state, but especially Western Connecticut, where you're from as former president and Darianne. What are you hearing from those teachers?
So I think one of the biggest issues is teacher time. Right. Teachers need time to prep. Teachers need time to collaborate. Teachers need time to even build community with their own classrooms. And unfortunately, time is not, you know, an infinite thing. Right. We definitely have something that we have timelines. We have pacing guides. But some of those things are not necessarily mindfully created or scaffolded. And the pressure to complete a set of rigorous standards that sometimes are almost a little overindulgent in terms of the amount of work that we try to accomplish in a school year. It's very hard for a teacher to feel like they're being cared for or that their process and their ability to get to know and differentiate for students is being valued when you have an administrator that comes in and says, well, where are you on the pacing guide? When we already know that our students are a little bit behind because of the pandemic and where we are. So the needs of our students changed. The needs of our teachers have changed, but the parameters and scaffolds that we have in place haven't, and the expectations haven't. And so I think part of it is teachers want to be heard. They want a seat at the table when it comes to curricular committees, when it comes to the teacher evaluation process, when it comes to even just how their building moves forward with initiatives. And they're not necessarily given that seat at the table, or it's a really limited seat at the table, or it's a smile and nod. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. And it doesn't. There's no follow through. And so I think that's a big thing. But again, I think a lot of it has to do with the understanding that the stakeholders in schools, parents, teachers, even the ones who are attacking, are coming at this with the understanding and realization that they want what's best for their kids or the people that they're serving. And what that looks like is often different. And so I think the conversation with kindness, with understanding, with patience is what matters. And then really, teachers need support from administration, superintendents, and boards of ed to say, we have your back, we protect you. And if there is something that's going awry, we'll look at the system, but we'll do it fairly, we'll do it with kindness, and we'll make sure that your privacy and your rights are protected.
All right, so Don, I'm going to ask you, because I think you bring a great big picture. If anybody doesn't know, Don brings a lot of experience. You should Google him, is what I would recommend. You'll find that he has a vast experience legislatively, and he brings a lot to our table here. So
even beyond my history as a country music singer.
Yes, yes. I mean, YouTube, that one. I'm always afraid what's going to happen when you Google yourself. Yeah, but I would definitely say that you can give us a sense of, all right, so big picture, what should teachers be thinking about? What should we be looking at? Because Jocelyn and I can get into the nitty gritty of like what it feels like on a daily basis. But sometimes we got to back this up and say, what kind of support should people look at from, you know, the state legislature?
That is a great question. I think that there are a number of different levels to look at. There's federal legislation. We should not rule out working very hard with NEA and also our federal delegation, who have been very receptive to us on issues at the federal level, just one that's been out there for a long time, getting some parity on Social Security.
I was hoping you were going to say Social Security.
Absolutely. We're one of 11 states that's treated completely differently. We've seen the federal...
And not in a good way for anyone who hasn't done the research.
And there's a certain amount of cost that would be involved in getting us on the same plane where teachers would be eligible not only for their teacher pensions, but Social Security. Just like basically every other municipal employee, for example, who have municipal pension programs and they qualify for Social Security. But that's a change that has to happen at the federal level. Does it cost money? Yes. But when you look at all that they shoveled out the Treasury door, $1.7 trillion,
they find money
for tax cuts for, you know, the billionaires, but they didn't include the relatively small percentage at that time that would have been necessary to bring that parity for those 11 states. So that's a federal issue. Also, the way that social media companies are treated, they're exempted from liability, the same liability that a newspaper has. If someone attacks, say, a teacher in a newspaper, the newspaper can be sued. But that's not true for Facebook and the other social media.
Right.
That's a federal change that needs to be made.
Which that would be really powerful because a lot of the attacks we're seeing are generated on these Facebook sites that kind of poise themselves as pseudo-journalism.
Right, right. Yeah. So there are a number of different things at the federal level, at the state level. That's where everything from more ECS funding for education, that formula has never been fully funded. And that means that we would be able to have more and better and professional compensation for teachers across the board. If we could get more funding there, that would be important. The supports that teachers need now more than ever with the pressures they face and the stress that students have been under the last year and a half. I'm talking about not only the assistants, teachers, and decent compensation, but the social workers, the counselors, the paraprofessionals, the support staff that's so important to help the teachers do their job and to not expect the teacher to take care of all of those responsibilities in addition to teaching class. And there are a variety of other issues like uninterrupted prep time and some of the nuts and bolts issues that can be dealt with either through the Department of Education or through state statute.
Right. I always talk about the fact that I'd have more downtime if I worked at Costco. than being a high school teacher or a elementary school teacher. You know, we have all of our time is typically prescribed. You know, we zip between bells. You know, we were laughing today about how, you know, oh, 15 minutes for lunch. That's just like a regular day at a school, right? So I think there's a lot of ways that we need to really look at how do we approach this profession in a way that really allows people to feel like I am an honored and respected profession. And some of it is money, right? Because at the end of the day, money does tell us where our priorities are. So I think we really do have a lot on our plate. I think we have a lot to talk about in the coming months and a lot of places where we can look to grow. And hopefully we'll be able to bring in lots of people to talk about the issues that are pertinent. You know, we may not be able to solve the problems, but at least if we can talk about them, maybe we can start putting them into play.
Well, and then we can make sure that everybody knows these are the issues and we all need to work together as a community to take care of them and make sure that we do better.
And that's so important, right? Because I can tell you when we have proposals before the legislature and we put out our action alerts by email, and our members take action, they contact their legislators, it makes a huge difference because that's the way we've been able to get important legislation across the goal line.
Right.
They either rallies at the Capitol, but in this day and age, you know, you get four or five teachers or more together who want to have a Zoom meeting with the legislator. You've got a good shot of getting a quick Zoom meeting where you can talk about the issues you care about, promote a particular bill that's going to help the teaching profession. In the last year and a half, we've learned there are more ways to reach legislators than just, you know, trying to catch them at the Capitol or invite them for a coffee, which is also, you know, a nice way to go. But Zoom is so easy and it's new and legislators like it. So there are a lot of different ways our members can have a big impact.
Yeah, leveraging technology. That's called being innovative, and that's what we do.
So hopefully we gave you all something to think about today, and maybe you'll go and take a call of action and take care of teachers and pay attention to schools.
And in the meantime, as you ponder your days, let us know, what is your greatest challenges? What are the things that you feel like are really presenting challenges to you? Or maybe, just maybe, what is your great beacon of hope amidst all this challenge? What is it that allows you to feel like we're going to move forward and we can be successful? And we look forward to talking more in the days to come about these big issues around for our CEA members.